If you have your Bible this morning, and I hope you do, let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I don't know whether or not you are participating with us in our 21 days of prayer and fasting, but if you are, this is where it originated. And interesting enough, we talked about this, sometime in November, we talked about the armor of God. And at the end of the armor of God, in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let me just stop and say a word of prayer right here. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to hear your word and to speak your word and to pray your word. And Lord, I pray that today as we hear the word of God, Lord, that we would learn, we'd have ears to hear, hearts to receive what the word has to say to each and every one of us today. Lord, that we might give glory and honor to you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this particular verse is where this 21 days of prayer and fasting, or the theme for it, came from, that after we have put on the armor of God, after we have taken the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, then he says, pray in the Spirit. Now, it says over in John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, in the Spirit, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words, this is Jesus speaking, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So, how do you pray in the Spirit? Here's your answer. It's in the Word of God. You pray the Word of God because it says that the words that I speak to you are spirit. So the words that Jesus is speaking to us in the Word of God are spirit. So, if we're going to pray the Spirit, I need to begin to pray what the Word of God has to say. Now, at the beginning, I told you a couple weeks ago to think of a word that kind of capsulizes what God is trying to teach you or wants to teach you over the next month or maybe even the next year. Okay? And I don't know if you have done that or not, but I have, and the word that I picked out was favor. Now, I'll go into this more a little bit later, but I just want to let you know that what we do with that word is based on our knowledge of the Word of God. And so, I've asked you to take that word and to study it and to examine what the Word has to say to you about that. Well, when I say study the Word of God, on some people's faces they light up like, I can do that. Other people look at me like, what does that mean? How do I do that? I mean, you're talking a huge book here. Actually, you got 66 books in one, and you want me to study one word? How do I do that? And so, I was asking Lisa a couple weeks ago, I said, do you think people really understand what I say when I ask them to study the Word of God? And we just kind of thought, you know what? Some of them probably do, and some of you do, and some of you might not have enough experience in the Word of God to understand exactly how to do that. And so through that conversation, we have come up with a plan. And I asked Lisa, and she actually volunteered before I asked her, but then I asked her because I thought, well, that's a dumb thing if you don't ask her now. So she is going to come and she's going to teach us how to study the Word of God. And so over the next couple weeks, and so if you're here and you are a seasoned veteran in studying the Word of God, this might just be old hat and very basic, And that's what it's intended to do. It's intended to be basic so we can all learn, we can all get on the same page. And so I'm going to ask Lisa to come. She's going to come, and she's going to teach us some stuff today, and then she's going to build on this. This is kind of part one this week, next week kind of part two. And you can already tell she is much more organized than I am because she's got a laptop up here, and I just come up with a piece of paper and my Bible. So she knows a lot more about this, and so she's going to share with you what God is going to do with us as we study the Word of God.
I don't even pretend to be experienced at this because I have so much to learn. I'm excited to be here. And as Bill said, this is very basic, but I'm a pretty basic person. So those of you who know so much more, I apologize ahead of time. But hopefully everyone can get a little something out of this to be more intentional about studying the Bible. So studying the Bible, it can be very enriching, but it can also be very challenging. How many of you, I'll just say, how many of you, when Bill says, well, you could study that out, you think, yeah, I could. Or he'll ask you a question and you go, oh. He's good at challenging us. He's very good at challenging me. Sometimes, as I told you guys before, he does it right before we go to sleep at night. And it's like, really? Now I can't sleep because I'm trying to think of what this is all about. Anyway, so it can be very challenging, but it's good for us to be challenged, right? Okay, I'm going to have to take these glasses off because I can't see. But it's my heart that we have something simple and doable so that every one of us, if you have a desire, which I pray you have a desire, to learn more. And like I said last week, not to be in the same place in 2026 as you are right now, spiritually. Okay? So I'm going to give you some information, and next week we'll go through and we'll apply what we talk about today. We'll talk about that next week and apply it. Because, you know, it's important that we learn and then that we can use what we've learned, right? And we want to be lifelong learners, especially of the Word. It's important that we constantly learn. It's good for our minds, too. Anyway, perhaps you're one of those people and that you prefer to just listen and then, so you come to church on Sunday, but then maybe you go away and that's the only time you really think about the Lord, unless maybe you have something going on during the week and you think, oh, I should pray. I would encourage you to change your ways and not just be that person that comes on Sunday and hears what Bill has to say and then goes away and doesn't think about it again. But I encourage us all to dig in for ourselves, not to just take what he gives us. Because, you know, think about it. If we ate once a week, we would be hungry. If you fed your animals once a week, well, they would be nipping at your heels, right? So it's important that we feed ourselves every day. And if you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, it's very important that you just see what he has to say in the Word. And it's important that we go, even when Pastor Bill feeds us, that we go and look into the Word to make sure he's doing it right. Because, you know, and he'll tell you that too. He's told us that. Don't just take my word for it. Go figure it out in the Word and see if what I'm saying is true. So this is how I study. I start with a cup of coffee. If you like tea or water, or that's not the most important part, but take your cup of coffee, take your Bible and some paper. If you would like, then use your phone or a computer. You can bring those along too. But it's super important to have your Bible and a piece of paper or a notebook. I like to a notebook because then I like to keep it handy. And I was just yesterday, I've been reading through our reading plan that we have in the back, and I was in Matthew chapter 11, and two different verses hit me, and I thought, oh, I need to look more into that. So I wrote those things to study, and so I wrote those two things down so I can go back at some point and study those out. So I would encourage you to do something like that. Choose a time of the day that's best for you. For me, it's morning because I don't have as many crazy things going through my head. My agenda is usually lighter first thing in the morning. So that's when I spend my time, but, you know, do what works for you. Maybe all of this is like a little, you think, that's a little too structured for me. But, you know, anything that's worth learning is going to take some commitment, right? So think about that. So getting to know what the Bible says is an investment also into every area of our life. When things get bad and hard, you want to be able to draw on what God said about that, the Word, what the Word says about certain things. And it also gets you through the good times. Just knowing the Lord, knowing His Word, walking in His joy, those are important. So the first thing you want to do is start with prayer. And like Bill was talking about praying in the Spirit, I say let the Holy Spirit guide you. Ask Him to show you the best way to understand the Word. Some different things work for different people. Some people are very hands-on. Other people are just like to read. Our oldest son, he could just read anything and understand it. It's annoying, actually. But it's served him well. Other people are more like you can listen and then you kind of get things better, or however you need to learn, then that's what you need to do. If you need to play the Bible and read it through and or listen to people explain things, then you do you. You know what's best for you. But figure it out so that you can learn what the Word has to tell you. And then ask the Lord to show you what He desires for you to learn. Because, you know, we've all learned things through the years from our parents or from our teachers or from our pastors. And they're good things. But as I said before, you need to get in the Word and see what it says for you. So this is how we're going to get in the Word. You want to choose your type of Bible. Now, you guys might say, well, there's only one Bible. Well, there's one Bible, but there's lots of different translations of that Bible. There's paraphrases, and the translations are where they take, like, say, one of the original manuscripts of the Bible, and they'll translate that exact thing into a new language, you know, into the language that they're doing it. Now, I don't mean, like, in French or English or Hebrew or whatever. They have those too, but they're a paraphrase or a translation. Excuse me. And then there's also a paraphrase, which is like if, say, Dale told me something and then I paraphrased it and told it to you in my way, then it might lose some meaning, right? So there's paraphrases are not the best Bible to study with. However, I like to use a paraphrase in addition to what I'm using. So there's different kinds of Bibles, and I want So there's an app on or a program on your computer if you're interested in doing it that way. It's called BibleGateway.com. So one of the Bibles that there is out there that I had when I was younger is called a parallel Bible. And what it is it has different versions of the Bible, four of them. So it might have like King James, NIV, New Living, and New King James. And they'll be all right there. So like if you're looking at Matthew 12:4, you can compare it in King James, NIV, NLT, and New King James. Well, there's the same thing on the computer. So if you, and I know this is really hard to see, but up on the right, can you go back, please? If you go up there on the top kind of top left of the white part is where you would type in your scripture you're looking for, okay? Now go to the next. And the version is up on the top right. Okay, now will you go to the next slide, please? So right there we have Romans 5:8. So that came up, and we're going to look at it in the New International Version. Okay, now I'll go to the next slide. Okay, up here on the top left are two little pieces of paper is what it looks like. And if you click on that, you can get another version. So see how we have the New International on the left and the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, on the right. Okay? And then you can do like three or four more of those parallels if you're interested in doing it on the computer, if that's the way that you like to do things. Whoops. All right. And one thing I found out, I did not realize when I was in high school, I had a Living Bible. Well, I didn't realize, first of all, I didn't realize that it had just come out. And it was a paraphrase, which I did know that. But the New Living Translation that is out now, it's called the NLT, is not a paraphrase. It's an actual translation. So I thought that was pretty, I didn't really realize that till I was talking to Bill, and he said, we were talking about the difference between translation and a paraphrase, and he said, well, I don't think the NLT is a paraphrase, which I did not realize that. So anyway, the next thing you want to have on hand that's super helpful when you're studying is a dictionary, just a plain old dictionary. And the reason is because sometimes you will think, oh, I wonder what that means. Or you think you know what that means. And then when you look in the dictionary, you're like, oh, I didn't realize it also meant this. Or you'll get good synonym words that mean the same but sound different. Those are good things to find in a dictionary. Then you can, a study Bible. So there's lots and lots and lots of different kinds of study Bibles. But it's helpful to use a study Bible if you can. And I would check. I have a friend that's a librarian, and I forgot to check with her. But I don't know. They might even have them. Do you know, Caden, if they have them in the library here? Do they have Bible study help books? Okay. So I'm not suggesting you go buy all these books, but there might be some downstairs in those books that are on the shelves. I'm not really sure. But there are all kinds of helpful study things. You just need to be careful as far as what kind of, that the person that you're looking at their study helps believes the same as you. If you can't see our flag up here, the Foursquare flag, but Foursquare, our denomination believes that Jesus is the Savior, the Healer, the Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and the soon coming King. Well, if you are reading something and that particular person who's doing the commentary doesn't really believe that Jesus came to save the world, well, you don't need to be looking at that. You want to get something that believes the doctrine that you believe. And if you're not sure what that is, then I would suggest you talk to Pastor Bill or Dale or somebody who's been studying the Word for a long time. There are also Bibles like the Thompson Chain Reference, which links scripture, scripture, scripture through the Bible. Or there's a Dakes Annotated Bible. We used to tease. My mom had one she got one year for Christmas, and she all of a sudden knew all this knowledge about the Bible. And it's like, Mama, where'd you learn that? She goes, well, I was reading in the footnotes of the Dakes Bible. Like, do you read the Word, or you read just the notes? Are you reading the scripture too? Because it has some really good stuff in there. So that's another one that's super helpful. The next thing is a concordance, which I don't know how many of you are familiar with a concordance. A lot of our Bibles at least used to have a concordance in the back. And what a concordance is like here's the Strong's Concordance, which is a huge book. In fact, when I was in Bible college, we used to think, well, you got to be strong to carry the Strongs, because it's like about this big and about that thick. Anyway, and I don't know, I don't think you can probably see this very well, but it will list words, and then it'll show you every verse in the Bible that where that word is shown, which is back to our parallel Bible, where you can go and look and, you know, and you study words. Sometimes words that we have in our translations that we use today, maybe in the older Bible, were a different word. And the King James is typically, I believe, what the Strong's go, like the words that it uses. So you would want to go, like, read your scripture, whatever translation you're using, go to that verse in the King James Bible, then you could look at the words in the concordance. Another thing I think is super important as we study the word is to memorize scripture. And it's just pertinent for life, I think. For instance, when I was young, I learned a scripture, and it's out of the King James Bible, and it's 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, I can remember many, many times in my life when I was afraid, and I know that's probably, some of you are like, well, I can't believe you're scared that much, but just different things, you know, whether it was with my children or if I was afraid of the dark or just different things. And then as I was teaching our kids, especially our daughter, I taught her that scripture because she was fearful in some areas. And so it's just like I could either sing that scripture song or repeat that scripture over and over. "For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And it would bring comfort to my heart and help me to get peace over whatever situation I was in. So I'm just want to do a side note real quick. If you like 2 Timothy 1:7 in the NLT, the scripture is very much the same, but it has a couple of different words. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Now, when you think of a spirit of fear, like in the King James, you don't realize maybe that timidity is a fear of sorts. So it's that's a good example of how things are expounded upon and we can get more out of it. All right, so then another thing to use possibly when you're studying is Bible reference study books. There's some books that have like a Bible dictionary, a Bible concordance, and then maybe a topical index where it talks about certain words. There are expositories such as the Vines Expository where they're intended to explain or describe something in detail. There's devotion books. Many of you have devotion books you use, and those will help you guide you through some scriptures too. There are Bible commentaries. Dale often refers to different Bible commentaries that he reads. And I know I was talking to Bill about that, and he prefers to like do his studying and then go in and see what the Bible commentary says about something so that he's not super influenced by that, but he lets the Holy Spirit, you know, show him. There's a book we have at home. It's called Everyone in the Bible, and it talks about every person in the Bible, and it has, you know, information on them. I mean, there's just so many things that we can use as study to help us study. The next thing I think is super important as we study and we learn is to personally apply those things. For instance, there's a scripture in Galatians 5:22 and 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And as Christians, that is speaking to us. And when you study about fruit, even the fruits of the Spirit, fruit grows on a tree, doesn't it? Okay, we spiritually are trees that are grounded in Jesus. And then we grow that fruit. The love, joy, everything. Just like a fruit tree grows apples or oranges, we grow that. But if we're not rooted and being fed by Jesus or by the Word, then we're not going to grow those things, are we? We're going to struggle in those, you know, with those things. And the fruits of the Spirit, next week we're going to take those, look at those fruits of the Spirit. And my word that I have for this year that Bill encouraged us in is kind or kindness. And so we're going to go through and kind of apply these things to that word. And we'll kind of see like what, kind of what that looks like. The next thing I wanted to say is that you want to, when you're studying the word, you want to keep it in context. I mean, we could get the Bible to say about anything we want, just pull a scripture out that makes it say what we want it to. But if we go into the context of that, sometimes it's not saying exactly what we're pulling it out to make it say, is it? And when I was reading in Galatians 5, if you go back and you start at like verse 16, I think, and read a little bit past that, it tells us all about the fruits of the Spirit, but it also explains how that's not always easy. It explains, too, where Satan and God are, you know, this is what living for Satan does. This is what living for the Lord does. It has that. And I thought, wow, that's even another thing to study. You could study spiritual warfare. Because when you read it in context, the possibilities are endless. But when you read some things, like I said, if you just read them by themselves, you don't get as much out of it as if you can read and understand, like, maybe the history of what was going on at that time when that scripture was written. The next thing is, I think it's important and good for us all to have a study buddy or study buddies. Do you ever have study buddies in school where you studied things together? You went over things together, you bounced them off each other. It's important that you do that, whether that's somebody that you talk to on the phone quite a bit that is studying. Maybe you can set up a thing and say, hey, why don't we study this? Or maybe it's somebody that you see every few days, you know, or whatever. But anyway, I just encourage you to have other people that you maybe are reading. That which is the purpose of us reading through the Bible is that we can say, hey, what did you get out of Matthew 12? Because that's the scripture that we're reading today. You know, and just have discussions with people, because as you know, when you talk to people, they have a different perspective maybe, and you learn things from them. I do. I'm sure you do too. So, and then obviously the Lord can just drop things into your heart too when you're reading. And then it might be something that would just really minister to somebody else. So that's super important. So in closing, I'm going to close four times. No, just kidding. I encourage you to, again, at the end, pray, Lord, show me how to put this to work in my life and how to share it with other people. And just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you as you study the word. Don't be intimidated by it. It's not scary. I mean, just do a little at a time. It's not like you have to do this like hours in a day, but just set a goal to learn more about God's word, because it's there's so much in there for us, and it gets us through so many things. It gives us strength and peace. And it's just good to know. Amen.
As we wind up this morning, I want to just kind of, I'm not trying to steal any thunder from Lisa, but one of the things that, well, the word that I picked for this month is the word favor, the favor of God. What does it mean to have the favor of God? What does it mean to walk in the favor of God? And so I began to look it up and to investigate in my studies of what that meant to have the favor of God. And so I went directly to the Strong's, and I pulled up a bunch of scriptures, and I printed off a bunch of them. This is only just a part of them, but it was just very helpful to be able to see them all together, and then I could pull them up and look them up and read them, like one right after another. And so I put them on some of the ones that I thought were really helpful for me. I'll just read a couple of them to start with. It says Psalms 30, verse 5 says, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Psalms 5, verse 12 says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." Then it goes on and it says in Psalms 30, verse 7, "The Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. When you hid your face, I was troubled." And it just goes on and it just tells me about the word favor and what God says about favor. And so I was thinking, and I wrote down a couple different ones that I thought were very, very good, because I wanted to kind of just show you how we pray. Because it said, you know, that your word is spirit, and we want to pray spirit-filled prayers. So we want to pray word prayers. And so one of the words or verses was out of Job chapter 10, verse 12. Do you have that one, Bill? Job chapter 10, verse 12. Well, while he's looking, I will look. All right, Job chapter 10, verse 12 says, "You have granted me life and favor. Your care has preserved my spirit." Okay, so you have granted me life and favor. And then Psalms 30, verse 5. I think I read that one to you already, but I'll put it out again. Verse 5 says, "For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime." So what I will do is I'll put those scriptures together as I'm reading them, and I'll begin to pray that scripture, those scriptures. God, I thank you that you give me favor. You have blessed me with favor. You know, you've blessed me with life. And many of you probably already think, okay, John chapter 10, verse 10 says that Jesus came to give life. That's the life that he's given us. But he's also not just given us life, but he's given us favor, the favor of God. And so I can pray as I'm praying for meetings and for encounters that I'm going to have during the day, and I know I'm going to see somebody or go somewhere or do something. God, I just pray for your favor, this favor that you promised me. Lord God, I know I felt like you were mad at me yesterday because I really messed up over here, but Lord God, it says in your word that your anger lasts for a moment, but your favor lasts for a lifetime. God, I'm so glad that I am favored by you. And so I can begin to pray according to the word. Now, I don't have to necessarily even pray specifically for that. Just praying and saying the words, God, thank you for this. Thank you for the favor of God. Then I can begin to look at those things and I begin to speak those things out of my mouth. And as I speak those things out of my mouth, it says that the word of God is a two-edged sword in our mouth. So I'm speaking the word of God as I pray these spirits, or even just not necessarily quote the scripture, but read the scripture. I mean, you can quote it if you want, but just reading the scripture. A lot of times when I'm praying about situations during the day, I might plead the blood over a situation. You know, somebody's traveling, and so we're praying for traveling mercies, and Lord, I just plead the blood over their car and over them for protection, and I can just go on. But then I can be thinking about the blood, and then I can start singing the song we just sang earlier today. The blood will never lose its power. And I'll just sing that song. Do you realize you can sing and pray at the same time? And as you're singing and you're praying and you're speaking those words, out of our mouth, we are declaring the goodness of God. We're speaking God's word. But you've got to have God's word to be able to do that. And that's why we're doing what we're doing with studying the word of God. How do we do that? How do we find out what the word says about favor? What does it say about the blood? What does it say about kindness? What does it say about joy? What does it say about all these different things that we're dealing with? And so I just really want to encourage you to take some time, and if you have that, whatever that word is or a thought that you want to study out, take the time and do it. Take the time and do it. I mean, it's my Bible. I mean, I've got a little concordance in the back of my Bible. And that's where I went the first morning, Monday morning. I went to the back of my Bible and I found a concordance and I found the word favor. And as I looked up the word favor, it only had, I'll bet it didn't have, it has 9 different references from Job all the way up to Acts. Different references of the favor of God. Now you get into the Strong's and it's going to get much deeper. You're going to have hundreds of different references to that particular word. But if I can start out with this, this is a little bit doable. It's kind of like I can do that. I can bite that off and get all those read today. And I can read about the favor of God today. And that favor of God for me. Because God wants us to know the Word of God. And He wants us to use the Word of God. It's not just a book to put on your coffee table and say, I have a Bible. The Word of God has been given to us. David tells us this over in Psalms 119. I have hid God's Word in my heart. Can you finish it? That I might not sin against you, right? How many have trouble with sin? Anybody? Okay. Barry's better than we are. So, how do we overcome that? Get the Word of God in there. I have hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, there's so many things that the Word of God will do for us if we will take it and ingest it and let that word get into our heart and receive it. And so I want to really encourage you. I know maybe this is new to some of you. Maybe it's old hat to some of you. But take the word of God. It says over in 1 Timothy, it says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved. Some of the other translations say, be diligent to study the word. So we need to really do this, and the scripture is encouraging us to do this. And so what we're doing over the next couple weeks is we're just going to give you opportunity and tools to be able to do this. And I know Lisa's going to go into more depth next week with all of this, and so we will find a little more out about this. If you have any questions today about what the books are and what she's doing and all that kind of stuff, she's more than willing to take questions after the church service, and you can go say, hey, I need some help with this. What do you do? So she's okay with that, all right? And so take advantage of the resources that you have. I know people put a lot of negative stuff on the internet, but there's a lot of good stuff on there too. You just got to know how to use it. And so we'll close this morning, but next week we're going to get a little bit deeper into this and let you understand a little more of how to do this practically, okay?